L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Parker Kelly here with you on a Friday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee. Connor Newt getting a well-deserved break. He filled in for Jake Lyman on Next Man Up this morning. He's a part of our high school coverage after our program. He's going to be up late. So Parker Kelly coming in, helping us out. Parker, glad to have you.
Gentlemen, it's an honor to be here.
Hold on, Parker. I got to do something.
What do you got to do?
Uh-oh, he's coming out here.
What's going on? What's going on?
Had to get a fist bump. It's the second time I've ever been on this program.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
So and the first time was after the ice storm.
Yes.
It was you, me.
Snowmageddon.
It was you, me, and Brandon Bigsby, because these two were iced into their homes. So yes, we are glad to have you for a regular edition of D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick. Chad Withrow will join us at 4 o'clock. You will have an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the Music City kickoff game between Ole Miss and Louisville during the 5 o'clock hour during Ask D-Mace. The best question for Derek Mason as part of Ask D-Mace, that person will win those tickets. Again, if you want a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City kickoff game, Ole Miss versus Louisville, at Nissan Stadium, Sunday, September 6th. Be listening during the 5 o'clock hour and participate and ask D-Mace. We will remind you as the program progresses.
Louisville.
Still needs work.
Exactly. Ole Miss and Louisville.
We need to get
a little Tom Jackson. Louisville.
Yeah.
You can't say Louisville, right? That's bad.
Definitely not.
You can't say that.
You can. It just is not right.
Louisville.
Some people do that.
Well, I get it. I get it because I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and next to Virginia Beach, Virginia is Norfolk, Virginia. N-O-R-F-O-L-K. And I don't like it when people go, Norfolk. No, it's not that. It's Norfolk. Norfolk. That's it.
Norfolk.
So I get it. I get it with those of you who are from Louisville. If you feel a certain way about it. I get it. And if you're mad at me, that's fine. Still participate in Ask D-Mace during the 5 o'clock hour if you want to see your beloved Cardinals at Nissan Stadium early next month. But all of us were in attendance at the Titans joint practice with the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. We are going to share what we learned, both offensively and defensively. This has nothing to do with the practice. Something I learned today, y'all call me princess behind my back.
No, we don't call you princess behind your back. You call that to your face, too.
Well, you did it when I showed up, and you realized you were calling me princess behind my back. Then you decided to call me princess.
No, I thought we called you princess before.
I've never heard it.
Oh, well. But it wasn't behind your back,
You
know, because we would say it in your face. You are princess, and we told you why.
Because I don't like when it's hot outside?
Yes, absolutely. So we were like, where Prince is at? Where did he go?
I was trying to plan the show.
I know you said that.
I had my big-ass safari hat on, you know?
It was. Let's be honest. It was big.
Yes.
It was huge.
Well, the last time I went to practice, I got badly sunburned on my forehead. So I had to make sure I actually packed my big-ass safari hat. And you know what? No sunburns. But
that's
all right.
Great.
Here's what always makes me laugh about practice, recaps, analysis, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, people who could not attend the practice are relying so heavily on our reports, the reports from Paul Kaharsky, Ed Nick Suss, Easton Fries, Terry McCormick,
Teron
Davenport. And I love watching people who aren't at the practice reacting to the practice. Like, yeah, the Titans defense is killing it out there. How do you know? Just because there was a report? You're taking that off of one post? I don't know. I digress. So all of us were out there. So let's start with what everybody wants to know. How did Cam Ward and the Titans offense look against the Seattle defense. Did Cam Ward, quote-unquote, bounce back from his iffy week last week in joint practice with the 49ers, his discouraging performance in the preseason game against the 49ers? Let's go around the room. Let's start with you, Willie Donick. How did Cam Ward and the Titans' offense look today against the Seahawks?
I thought, and I haven't read what other people who routinely watch practice have wrote about it. My eye was telling me I thought it was a very solid performance from Cam Ward. He had a couple of nice throws down the field. He had one bad interception. But I thought he got into a groove, especially late in the practice, where he really was making it a point to get the ball out on time. He was decisive. It was 1, 2, 3 balls out. He took a lot of quick, short throws that were there, and a couple of really nice throws that also were planting the back foot, throw with good mechanics. You guys were laughing at me because there was one throw he made in the red zone where he rolled out right, threw back across his body through a laser beam that was caught by Elik Iyemanner for a touchdown. That was the exact throw that I suggested earlier this week that he not try anymore.
Yes.
Because he's had that intercepted a couple of times, but it was a great throw. So I was saying, hey, that's the one I said you're not supposed to throw.
You said, like, no.
Derek was like, that's why you can't do that. That's why you got to let him do that. Well, today it was a good move that he threw that. I thought it was a positive day for him, I think.
I thought the offense did a good job. Again, we didn't see them in San Francisco. We just heard about, you know, how the practice went for the offense, and it sort of echoed what we saw in the game. It didn't completely go well. It started off okay, but then ended up, you know, in a bad place. So coming here and actually seeing the practice was, I think, a big benefit to see, because this is the thing we were wondering. Yeah, Cam, we see what Cam does against our secondary. But the last time we saw our secondary, they were not that good. And get it? Defense was vanilla. But the perception is our defensive secondary is still a question mark. So doing it against your own secondary was kind of, is this a little bit misleading in a sense? So you wanted to see Cam or hear that Cam had a good day practicing against Seattle. And he did, with the exception of that. And it was a bad, he didn't see the safety drop. And he has to see things like that. But it's, you know, it's not like that doesn't happen from time to time. But those are the things you're trying to make sure that he gets out of his system, or things that he doesn't. If it does happen, it's like, wow, what's going on here? But beside that throw, I think he moved the ball well. I think he stayed on task. I think he stayed on with what they wanted to do as far as their timing. When he saw an open guy, he hit open guy. He went through his progressions really well. I thought he got outside the pocket really well. He made a run that, because we were on the further end of the field. We were on the south end of the field, or the north end of the field, whichever way we were. But we didn't see it. We couldn't see us, but it seemed like he would have scored on the scramble. He had a really good red zone period that was right in front of us to start practice off. That's when he sort of got into his groove. Again, he still needs to get better. He dirtied a few that he needed to. He threw one bad ball to the shoulder, I think, of the running. It may have been the running back, Spears. But beside that, I thought he stayed on task. He hit the open guys. He moved well in the pocket. And besides that one interception, I thought he had a good day. But these are days he has to build on. The game needs to look like that. That's what the game needs to look like, because now we've seen him do it against somebody other than our defense. It should look like that, or close to that, once we, you know, watch the game on Sunday.
I will note that both teams were on their best behavior for the most part. There will be no $500,000 fines for the Seahawks
scuffle.
And Titans. There was one. I think Tajay Spears was involved in it, but it didn't last very long. I did see a Titans helmet go flying out of the scrum, which was funny. But, yeah, no dust-ups, no skirmishes, no kerfuffles, really. A lot of trash talk, that's to be expected. But there will be no fines for either team, I expect, because they were on their best behavior for the most part. Parker Kelly, what was your takeaway from the Titans offense's performance today?
I think effective is the right word that I'm looking for Cam Ward. Like D-Mace was saying, I feel like the touchdown early on during the practice to Alec Ayomanner rolling to his right, firing it back across the middle. Alec Ayomanner was standing right there in the middle of the end zone. That got him into a groove. And what I've always felt Brian Daboll with these concepts that he's installing into the offense is trying to get through to Cam Ward is you look at some of the great quarterbacks throughout history, Tom Brady, even more recently, Patrick Mahomes. They are so good at making the boring plays over and over and over, but when they need to make a big play and the team they need it the most, they always come through. So I feel like with these concepts, Cam Ward's hitting the easy passes, at least he was today, and then when he needs to put on the cape, he has the big play ability to do so. The pick was pretty bad. It was off play action. Tried to force it in a window that wasn't there and didn't see the guy who picked it off. That was pretty inexcusable from him today, but everything else, I thought he was pretty effective.
Robert Saleh said after practice about Cam Ward throughout training camp, quote, "He's had days where he's played elite quarterback. I'm sure he wants to have a couple of days back, but I think you can make the case that more often than not, he's doing a hell of a job." Also, no injuries for the Tennessee Titans, but there was a major injury for the Seattle Seahawks. Wide receiver Jake Bobo went down Friday with what appears to be a serious knee injury. Seattle's coach Mike McDonald says it looks like a long-term injury. So that's unfortunate for the Seahawks, but it appears that the Titans did not suffer any significant injuries, some bumps and bruises, of course, Robert Saleh said, but nothing severe. The plan is for the starters to play in the preseason game on Sunday. Hey, prime time, national television.
Stop it.
Mike North, shout out.
Kenny Albert on the call.
Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma on the call. So the Titans will get the preseason prime time treatment. The starters will play on Sunday. Saleh did not have a guess on how many plays or series the starters will play, but they will be out there. So it's interesting to me. Again, I went back upstairs to the media room after practice. I scrolled through social media. I wanted to see what some of our colleagues were saying, and I saw a lot of reaction from fans just like, "Yeah!" It's always been fascinating watching the reaction to a football practice. Not to say these practices aren't important. They clearly are. Especially when you're going up against another team and you're going up against a team the caliber of the Seattle Seahawks. But I always caution people not to get too wrapped up in how a team performs in practice. But here's a question I have for all of you. I saw Todd Monken, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, say this after a joint practice with the Buffalo Bills. The Browns and the Bills on opposite ends of the NFL spectrum. Much like the Seahawks and the Titans. And Monken's review of the Browns' performance was, "We held our own." And that was comforting to him that the Browns, quote unquote, held their own against the Buffalo Bills, one of the top teams in the NFL. So let me ask all three of you, did the Tennessee Titans hold their own against the Seattle Seahawks today?
They absolutely did. But as I said yesterday, my theory with all of that is when you have a Super Bowl team that you're playing against, there's not as much urgency for the Seahawks in that practice as there is, I think, for the Titans, who are trying to, A, just correct some things that didn't go very well last week. They've been challenged. They're trying to build a foundation. They've got a new coach. I think there's more urgency and focus for a practice like that. I'm not sure you saw the best of the Seahawks today, but that's okay. I like you said, Adam, I think the important thing is to keep all of this in perspective. It's not time to run out and start making predictions of making the playoffs, but I thought it was a good solid day's work today. Hopefully it's something they can build off.
I don't think you saw the best of Seattle, but what I think you saw was Seattle, you know, competing, because if you're going against someone that isn't your team, automatically, if you don't step on that field with that desire to want to compete and you know, destroy your opponent, you know, regardless if it's a practice, especially against someone that you haven't been playing against, or a preseason game, the mentality is when you come out there, you want to be aggressive. You want to go out there and you don't want to get showed up in a sense. So whereas we may not have seen the best Seattle, just like you haven't seen the best Tennessee Titans, but you did see a Seattle team that came out and competed. And knowing that, the Titans came out and I think more than held their own. When you're talking about competing with the team, you're not competing against the Super Bowl champs. That team's gone. It's done. The same team that won that Super Bowl isn't the team you're facing today. It's just not. That's the way it is in the sport because guys, you know, get bigger contract. They cut guys. Guys retire. So you're not facing the same. But what you are facing is a Seattle team that is going to come out and compete, and a Seattle team that needs to get back on the right track quickly if they are going to compete for another Super Bowl because their division is getting harder and harder. So I thought you saw the Titans, I think, at least from an offensive standpoint, what I seen. It wasn't perfect, no, but I saw a team that wasn't intimidated. I saw a team that came out and more than just held their own. They got into a groove, and that's what you want to see. But now they need to take that and make sure that it filters over into the game.
Parker Kelly, did the Titans hold their own against the Seahawks today?
100%. I was thoroughly impressed by the defense. I was watching them pretty intently in between, you know, red zone periods, and they gave up a few chunk runs. And something that Sala was talking about after the San Francisco game last week was this defense is meant to bend but not break. And despite giving up those chunk gains on the ground, they didn't allow them in the end zone. And they were going up against the ones. Jaxon Smith-Njigba's out there, Sam Darnold, Jadarian Price. They were all out there. So I was really impressed by that. And Cam Ward's ability today to move the ball up and down the field, I thought that was impressive. So, yeah, they did hold their own. And I'm not going to take away any credit from Seattle. They're not at their strength right now. They're scrambling to try to find defensive backs because, you know, they signed Terrion Arnold, but he's on the NFL commissioner's exempt list. They're trying to bring in some other guys, and Nick Imanwori's not out there. But overall, that's still a very solid defense. Might even be better than the defense they went up against last week. So, absolutely, they held their own.
615-737-1025. We'll continue our conversation about the Titans practice against the Seahawks coming up next. We'll focus on the defensive side of the ball. And one player we've been critical of had a big day for the Titans on defense. We'll discuss him and the whole defense coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keep up with training camp with 1025 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as we get you prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie in charge of music today. We already know the theme because you spoiled it for us yesterday, but share it with the people.
There's a common thread in all of these songs. They all have the depth.
The depth.
The depth.
It's about being deep. The SEC. The depth.
The depth.
So we start off by rolling in the deep, and there's going to be a lot of things that happen.
Hey, Willie, don't be surprised if you're on vacation somewhere and you just say the depth, and somebody else says, the depth.
Right. And they're going to say, the depth. You're talking about the SEC, right? Yeah.
Parker Kelly, where do you stand on this hot button issue? Answer carefully.
Can I play the middle here? Is that allowed?
Answer carefully.
Because, well, I was talking with Willie about this. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged that the Big Ten is a better conference. The way I judge conference superiority, who has the most teams capable of winning a national championship? I think it's fair to say that the Big Ten has more. But the SEC, in terms of overall depth, is a deeper conference than the Big Ten. A good data point will be in week two. Mississippi State travels to take on Minnesota this year. Mississippi State is regarded as one of the bottom teams in the SEC, with Minnesota being a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten. So if you're wanting a data point, that certainly is one.
The depth!
The depth!
So he's in the middle. Yeah, he's not going to, you know.
We'll see how State does there. Minnesota should beat them.
But up there. See, Willie started already. Minnesota should beat them.
Up there.
They should be. But what have y'all said for the longest? the bottom teams will beat the Big Ten middle and bottom teams.
Minnesota is supposed to be sneaky good this year, so I'm better than normal. But the atmosphere at Minnesota will not be what the atmosphere would be if that game was in Starkville. So that's part of my depth presentation is the atmospheres that you play in when you go on the road in the SEC, much more difficult week in and week out than a lot of the Big Ten.
So what you're really saying is this.
But the bottom of the Big Ten. The bottom
half. What you're really saying is that the depth of the SEC fan base is deeper.
It's part of the formula.
So it has nothing to do with the team.
It has a lot to do with the team.
But you just say the fan base every time. Going to Starkville and going to Minnesota are two different places. Well, we know that.
Sure.
And you're right. But the fans are loud still, no matter what.
I don't know how loud the Minnesota fans are. I don't think I've ever said, hey, you ever been to Minnesota, man? They've got awesome fans. You watch out. You're not going to be able to call your signal.
Row the boat, Willie. Row the boat.
Man, come on.
You don't think Mississippi State can go on the road and beat them?
Row the boat.
I think they can.
I do too.
See? There we go.
But there's certainly a mystery with a lot of teams. There will be a couple teams in each of the leagues that are surprisingly good, and there'll be a couple teams that are in this top 25 probably that fall on hard times and get caught up and things go wrong. But by and large, the atmosphere is at the home games, the resources being put in, and the caliber of player is way deeper in the SEC than the Big Ten. It's not even arguable, really.
The depth! Who won the last couple of championships?
Well, look, I can't argue with that. Right. The superiority at the top right now is the
superiority,
Big Ten.
Period.
Okay, boys. To your corners.
Yes.
To your corners.
Hey, you were the one that asked Parker to get in on it.
Exactly.
I did.
You opened up the can.
I'm happy to get into this debate.
One texter says, don't you guys think those cowbells should be banned? They're so annoyingly loud.
Yes, they are. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Well.
But you can't use enhancements.
Look, they've tried to ban them. They still bring them. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. You know why?
The Vandy Whistler hasn't been banned, so the cowbells are here to stay.
Yeah,
I know it's a different sport.
I don't know what the Golden Gloves is.
Imagine like 15,000 whistlers. That's what you got.
Sounds like my version of cowbells. Yeah. All right. Back to the Tennessee Titans. Before we get to the defense, Derek, you wanted to comment on the performance of the offensive line today against the Seahawks.
Yes, I thought the offensive line did a good job today. There were some big runs by Pollard. Chestnut had a big run. I believe it was Carter that had a big run as well. So the offensive line, I'm not sitting here saying they dominated Seattle's front, but I thought that there was, you know, more than a handful of plays that I thought the offensive line did a good job at blocking down, combo blocking, and then getting to the next level. It was one play, I think it was Pollard that broke. I mean, you saw Big JC talking trash after the play and pushing people down the field. So that's what you want to see from your – especially going against a defensive line like the Seattle Seahawks. So I thought the offensive line, they held their own. And I think they more than held their own against that front.
So let's talk about the defense, the much maligned secondary. By the way, have you ever noticed that – things are never regularly maligned. They're always much maligned. But it does fit here. The much maligned secondary of the Tennessee Titans had a solid day as well. Jeffrey Simmons said after practice that man coverage was the focus from the second the team got back from San Francisco. Our friend Nick Suss of the Tennessean reports, because he was watching primarily the Titans defense versus the Seahawks offense. Suss reports, quote, the Seahawks first team offense only found the end zone twice across 10 periods of best versus best work. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the NFL's reigning offensive player of the year, was held to 4 catches. By the Tennesseans' count, Sam Darnold finished his day having completed a little under 60% of his passes. The Titans first team defense registered at least 3 pass breakups and 1 interception, while only surrendering 1 explosive play, a go ball to Smith-Njigba. They came 3 plays after the practice's simulated halftime. But one of the big plays of the day, Alante Taylor scoring a pick 6 off of Sam Darnold. So again, we were talking about showing progress week to week. A lot of conversation about the secondary. Hell, we even talked about the secondary before the secondary was struggling against the 49ers in that joint practice and in the preseason game last week. But Derek, from what we saw, much like the offense, the defense held its own against Seattle at practice today.
Yeah, I thought that from my vantage, I thought that Taylor had a good day. Flop was better than what he had been. I saw Gray running around. Cody Barton had a nice breakup. But I think the secondary, they had a pick six. I think the secondary held on. And this one, that's one of those things where the whole week they were hearing what people were saying about them. You know, they were hearing about old Jackson Smith and Jigba and, you know, Shaheed and the crew is coming to Nashville. The secondary struggled against a rookie, you know, a player with San Francisco, Scribbly. What was his name?
DeSean Stribbly.
Yeah, Stribbly. Yes. They had trouble with Stribbly. So they
he
heard,
sounded like me baby talking my 6-month-old kid there for a moment there.
So they heard all of this noise coming into it. So they wanted to make sure they came out and, you know, they competed and matched Seattle's offense because, yes, they do have some high power guys on that side of the ball at the skill position led by Sam Darnold. But I thought the secondary did a good job. There's still places where they can improve. But I thought Taylor held his own. Flott needs to get better. Now, again, like I said about with the offense, now this is something you need to take into the game. Now we need to see it when the lights come on and see if the things that you guys were doing on the field can translate to, you know, game day.
Willie Donick, Sam Darnold said after practice about the Titans' defense, quote, "You see the aggression. You see the kind of pressure that they put on the quarterback. Their four-man rushes are really good, and when they bring five- or six-man rushes, and even when they bring fire zones, they're really, really good. The back end is really good at disguising right now. They're showing a lot of different things defensively without getting too far into the weeds. They're doing a lot of great things, and that defense is going to be really good this year," end quote. Your thoughts?
Sam Darnold knows that defense because he faced it twice last year.
True.
So he probably wasn't fooled by anything, and I don't think there's a lot of deception in the Robert Saleh defense. So it is going to be about those guys putting pressure on. I wasn't watching that field as closely as I was where the Titans were playing offense, but what I tried to watch as many of Darnold's reps as I could. The spin rate was there, by the way. Good tight spirals, but
outstanding spin rate.
I saw what the consensus was. They didn't get burned on a lot. And I thought the front four, while I don't know if I saw like a bunch of plays where I'm thinking that's a sack, I thought they were in his face enough to affect throws. Like they weren't making it easy for him. They were making the pocket smaller. And I hope that will translate when they start playing real games, because that is going to be so much of the formula. Can this team have a good pass rush for the first time in about 5 years? They haven't had a good pass rush since 2021, better than average, and consequently a better than average defense since 2021.
Parker Kelly, your thoughts on what you saw from the Titans defense? I know you were watching that field very closely.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the front seven wasn't able to generate more of a pass rush than they were. They affected Darnold at times, but not as much as I was expecting them to, but was really pleased from what I saw from the secondary. Alante Taylor dropped a pick earlier in practice, but later made up for it with the pick six at the tail end there. Cordell Flott had a better day. Overall, I was really impressed by Kevin Winston. He's just somebody that is everywhere out there. It doesn't matter if they're playing one high, two high. If he's one high and he's having to play center field, if you leave that ball a little bit too long in the air, whether it's to the left or right, Kevin Winston has the ability to recover and make up with the speed. He's just everywhere. So I think when we're talking about foundational players for the Titans, I could certainly see Kevin Winston being that for him.
Chad says on our text line, I'm going to shout out Femi Oladejo as being a force today as well. Front seven was disruptive to that Seattle offensive line. The whole practice, JFM and Johnson had sacks, but Femi had multiple sacks and TFLs. Looked like a completely different player. And that would be huge for the Tennessee Titans if Femi Oladejo can emerge as a pass rusher.
He and Falk, and I'll say the same thing as I said last week. I'm not going to use the catchphrase, flash me, but I do want to see. Those guys are good athletes. They have tools. So you want to see them in practices like this, and I think the game on Sunday where you're going to be put in some one-on-one spots just to see. The Seahawks want to see if the guard can stop those guys one-on-one, and the Titans want to see if they can beat a one-on-one. They're not scheming. So you want to see the athleticism and the talent pop like that. And Winston, Parker brings up Winston. We saw another play where he was arriving with the ball, and he hit the guy, and the guy was shaken up. It was just like the two plays that we were talking about yesterday. So Winston, again, aggressive. I'm really curious how that's going to translate on Sundays when it's live.
Well, he is a player that plays downhill, and you need to at that position. But you also have to, because, again, it's going to be, in a game, hopefully if that hit does arise or something like that in a game, he's positioning his body in a way where he's not taking a personal foul. But he plays with a lot of aggression. Just don't use that much aggression against our own guys. But today I thought he did a pretty good job.
615-737-1025 will take your reaction to our reaction of the Titans practice, because most of you weren't there, so you have to take our word for it. But if you have any questions about what you saw or what you heard about the practice, you can let us know. You can ask us. We were there. 615-737-1025. A couple of announcements, however. First, you can catch the Metro High School Football Game of the Week every Friday at 7 p.m. here on 102.5 The Game. Tonight's game will feature Pearl Cone versus Montgomery Bell Academy. Before and after the game, Big Joe and our very own Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz, powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union. Also, 1 week from today, make sure to come out and hang out with us at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate our 15th anniversary. We will have lots of gifts for you, yes, you, the listeners, every hour starting at 6 a.m. You can listen for a chance to win Predators tickets, Vanderbilt tickets, concert tickets, and more. And our grand prize, Predators season tickets. Not just one game, not just two games, 42 regular season home games. You can win Nashville Predators season tickets if you stop by T-Line next Friday and help us celebrate our 15th birthday. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthday. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Classic song. Good choice, Willie.
The Genesis, Invisible Touch album. I saw him at the Citrus Bowl back in the day. Packed house.
I like it. Sets a good
deep
mood.
Is the theme. Deep is the theme.
Yeah. Sets a good mood because we're talking about the depth of the SEC.
SEC. They're gonna beat each other up. They're beating each other up. Nobody's going unbeaten in the league. I'm with the Athletic on this. Nobody's going to run the table because of the depth.
The depth. We received a strange text during the break.
Strange text.
Yes, okay. Strange. Strange.
But you still can read it.
Yes. Okay. Not inappropriate. Okay. Just strange. One texter says, my review of today's practice reminds me of when I accompanied my newly 2-year-old son to his first birthday party with his colleagues. First of all, who calls their 2-year-old friends colleagues? That's an interesting choice of words. Him punching out at simultaneous 1 and 2s approximately 13 minutes, 22 seconds into the party was not a good look, and there was clear room for improvement. However, the Carly and Caitlin twins, who were at least 3 months older than my boy, melting down not getting the first pizza handouts, showed me he was not far behind in maturity. I think the Titans will be okay.
So he said that to say, I think the Titans will be okay.
And even if they had a rough practice today, they might still be okay. I mean, okay is relative.
Yeah, it's just for me, it's you know, difficult to sort of understand what you're really seeing because, you know, the last time we saw, again, the last time we saw the defense, when they played against someone else other than our own offense, they didn't look well. And then we see the offense, they have a good, you know, first series, but then after that, they don't look well. So when you get in practice and you see that, you know, Cam is having good days, you know, and at times defense has a good day, the secondary in particular, you don't know how to sort of match that with what you're seeing on television. So to see them go out there, both the offense and the defense, today and have a better showing, I think it does gives you a better sort of sense of, okay, maybe they are progressing, but then you got to see it on this upcoming Sunday.
Let me ask you guys, Derek, let me start with you on this. If I said, hey, they're going to have one of these sessions, the practice and the game, one's going to look not so good, one's going to look really good. Which would you rather look good in, the game or the practice?
I think, well, both, really.
Because of you got me thinking that way because of what you're saying. It's still a controlled environment. Nobody's
being practice tackled. Is still a controlled environment. And then once it's just, and everybody knows.
But there's more reps of the ones versus the ones. I don't even know what the Seahawks said what they're doing. Are they playing their guys on Sunday?
I don't know if they
so
are.
At least I'll take a look. Ones versus ones. So I would my thought, just from what I said, I might evaluate it more on the practice. Because it was a long practice. There was a lot of reps today for everybody.
Yeah, I can understand why, you know, some people would, you know, look at the practice and say, well, I'm judging it based upon, you know, what I'm seeing in what they're going or who they're going against in practice. You know, but I just look at the game as being something different because I, you know, being in that position for a good chunk of my life, I've seen guys play practice really well, and then once those lights come on, for whatever reason, when people are in the stands, everything changes. When those lights that are about, you know,
the silks
200 feet away from you, when those lights turn on, something just changes, and some people don't know how to change with that. Some people, it just gets too big for them. The moment gets too big, they're nervous. Everything seems to be a blur to them. So practice is that's one part of it. But if you can't then, you know, sort of replicate that on the playing field, that's where it needs to be replicated on the playing field. You know, that should be, you know, we've worked this whole week on doing this. Now, once we get to the game on Sunday, this is how it should look. And if it doesn't look that way, it's like, man, well, what are we really doing in practice? So I think both of them has its place, but I think ultimately it's what are you doing on game day? Are you showing up on game day? Because, again, some people are great practice players, and you put them in a game, and they disappear.
I cannot find the Seahawks' plan for the preseason game quickly. It would not shock me, however, if similarly to what we saw in San Francisco last week, if most of the starters for the Seahawks don't play in the game. So, speaking of the SEC, you may get a lot of Jalen Milroe on Sunday. He was out there today.
He was.
Andrew Locke. To answer your question,
Hendon
really,
Hooker. You can't forget about Hendon Hooker.
I mean, I can.
I'm just saying you said SEC. So,
I mean, that is true. Yes. Hendon Hooker is an SEC quarterback who will probably play in the preseason game, just like Jalen Milroe. So that is technically accurate. To answer your question, Willie, and I don't have the scientific answer that Derek Mason does because he actually participated in these practices and games, I think it's more important from a perception standpoint that they play better in a game that everybody can watch.
Right. There's that is for sure. And I just wonder if professionals like a Mike Borgonzi and the real evaluators can put aside the reactions of the fans because it's at the end of the day, the perception of your team means something going forward. But right now, I think it's more important just what your eyes are telling you to block out the noise and the reaction. So if they were to lay an egg on Sunday in front of the home fans, it wouldn't be great. But I would be looking at it and say, well, look what they did in a high volume of reps, ones versus ones and so forth, against a really good team.
I think you make a good point. I just know that. Let's reverse this for a moment. Let's say Cam Ward had the day he had in the preseason game in the joint practice, and he had a better day in the preseason game. I don't think we would have had the sky is falling conjecture we've been discussing all week about Cam Ward. So although Ward had, I would say, again, by no means an expert, I thought he had a solid overall day. He did have the pick six, which is not good. But overall, he had a solid day. If he can have another solid day, especially on national television, I'm going to emphasize this primetime game because you're not going to get very many more of them, Titans fans, or I don't think you're going to get any more of them, actually, at least this season. If he has a solid game on Sunday, then we come back here on Monday and people aren't like, oh, my God, he's a bust.
And with the national audience, too, it gets me thinking about something we discussed last week, too. Right now, as we sit here, I think it's wishful thinking that they're today going to get anything for Will Levis in a trade, right? And Levis was okay today. He made some, did some nice things with the three, you know, the third unit, for whatever that's worth. So, what happens on Sunday if he looks really good? Would that give them any additional hope that they could find a taker for him? Because it just, it looks like right now, he's just playing out the string.
He's going to get cut.
I mean, he's. I think he knows it. He's just trying to put as much good plays on tape as he possibly can. Whether the Titans get an opportunity to trade him, or you know he finds himself cut by the team, and then you know have to look for another team after that. So, I mean, he has to know the writing is on the wall. He looked good today, but what does that really mean in a big scheme of things? But getting back to the offense, I thought the offense played with tempo too. I thought they were, especially when they wanted to, you know, get up to the line and run a quick play. They did that several times. It seemed as if everyone was under control. It seemed like Cam handled that, like a starting quarterback should handle situations like that. I think one of them was after his run that I don't know what it was. It may have been a touchdown, may not have been. Again, we were on the far end. But then right after that, they rushed to the line of scrimmage, and they ran another play. I believe it was that play. But then, you know, a prime example of, you know, things happening in practice that need to translate to the game. He threw two big plays to Elik Alemayer. And I'm not even talking a crosser. He threw the deep ball, remember they called, which I don't think it was a pass interference.
They called offensive
pass. Yeah, I don't think it was offensive pass interference. They both guys were jostling with one another, and Elik just out-muscled him. And I think Elik caught another one in the corner in the end zone. Those are the things that needs to translate to the game, because Cam looks at Elik as his big body receiver, the guy that can go up and make that combative catch. He's the more physical of the receivers. That's why you see with him a lot of, you know, back shoulder passes, a lot of high balls, because he's proven, you know, in the last year as a rookie that he can go up and get those. He has to continue to get better at those type plays because Cam is going to be looking for him.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, our friend Chad Withrow will join the program. We'll talk Titans, we'll talk college football and more with Chad Withrow. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. First pitch is at 5:35 p.m. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.